The following broadcast is brought to you by Sons of God International and Freedom Fellowship Church. Hello, and welcome to the prophetic voice of our time, where we focus on the voice of prophecy, which is the testimony of Jesus Christ. Our host, Christina Sasso, is a senior pastor at Freedom Fellowship Church. Let's hear what she has to say to the body of Christ.
Hello, thank you for tuning in. My name is Joshua Sasso, and you are listening to the prophetic voice of our time. You know, something that God has been preparing we at Freedom Fellowship Church for is we as the church, we really got to take on a mindset of governance and operating in authority in the kingdom of God. You see, the majority of Christians, when they pray, it's kind of about their their personal affairs, the things that they want, the things that they need. And most of their prayers, most of their alone time with God is honestly about themselves. But people who are called to leadership, the truth is you end up finding yourself spending time praying more for the concerns of others and for the concerns of nations. You see, when Moses went before the Lord, Moses didn't really go to God saying, "Oh, well, Lord, I need this. God, I'm really believing for this." No, Moses got direction concerning the nation of Israel. And when he went up to Mount Sinai and he was there in the presence of God, God gave him the laws and customs the nation was supposed to follow, how they were supposed to settle disputes, the kinds of festivals and celebrations they were going to hold, how they were going to build the tabernacle. And then he would go back and he would tell it to the people. He would say, "Look, this is what the Lord has instructed us to do, and these are the things we're supposed to carry out." And then the people bound themselves to that covenant that the Lord had made for them, okay? So as a leader, you kind of start to transition away from being concerned with yourself, your wants, your needs, your desires, and you start focusing more on the concerns and needs of the nations. You start interceding on behalf of nations. You start interceding on behalf of others. And it's part of this spiritual maturing process. You see, think about a baby, right? When a baby is born, a baby is only concerned about its wants and needs, right? I'm hungry. I'm tired. I want this. I feel this. I'm upset. It has no regard for the wants and needs of its mother or father, right? It couldn't care less. I'm hungry. Why haven't I eaten yet? Why am I still awake? I'm tired now, right? That's all a baby concerns itself with, many times at the inconvenience of his or her parents, right? And many Christians, unfortunately, they're either infants or adolescents. They still only think and only are concerned with themselves, what they want. Oh, I want to hear about me. I want to hear about what God has for me and what I want, and these are my desires. And, you know, this is to be expected, especially of a new Christian, somebody who is spiritually immature. But something the body of Christ desperately needs is that we, the church as a whole, need to mature. We need to be people that God can rely upon concerning the needs of the nation, concerning spiritual warfare. And many times in, you know, when you're growing up from an infant to a child to a teenager and then to an adult, little by little, you can start to be entrusted with more, right? And it's really not until you reach maturity that you begin to understand the sacrifices your own parents made for you, you know, kind of the things that they had to put up with, right, in raising you. But when you come to that understanding, then you can actually show real appreciation for the things that they gave you, right? And many times it's not until you come into adulthood, sometimes into your teenage years. But this is part of the maturing process, is that you start to have people that are more important than yourself. Many times it's your kids that force you to mature, right? It's this baby that can't take care of itself. And now, oh, well, it's crying at 3 a.m. Well, you got to get up and you got to take care of it because it can't take care of itself. So the baby's needs, right, they become more important than your own wants and your own needs because it can't take care of itself. So you got to take care of it. You got to suck it up. You got to be the adult and you got to take care of it. When we are maturing spiritually, much of your prayer time will be spent for the sake of others and for the sake of nations. Now, thankfully, we have a God who's caring and trustworthy, And the Lord says, and this is what Jesus himself said, don't worry about what you're going to eat, what you're going to drink, what you're going to wear. Don't be concerned about these things. If you seek first the kingdom of God, then all those things are going to be added to you, right? And so we have this case where we have a faithful God where if you know what, we decide, I'm going to go all in. I'm going to obey the Lord. I'm going to go where he tells me, which means that you're going to be interceding on behalf of people that maybe have no idea you're interceding on behalf of them. You're going to be praying and decreeing regarding nations when they have no idea those things that you're doing, right? Without recognition, without any kind of limelight, but you're focusing on the needs of others and the needs of the kingdom. But as you do that, your needs, your wants, God knows them, and he's going to provide them, okay? That's something that's so amazing about the Lord. We don't have to be concerned with ourselves because we serve somebody who loves us more than we even love ourselves. And, you know, let's face it, for some of you, that's actually a lot because some of us kind of love ourselves a little too much, right? So we have to know that we can trust in God, but this is part of our maturing process. So Moses, he goes up to Mount Sinai and he talks to the Lord face to face. He's in the presence of the Lord, right? He goes up there for 40 days and nights, and then he gets instructions. This is how you're going to build the tabernacle. These are the materials you're going to use. This is who's going to build it. This is who's going to oversee the workers. These are the ceremonies the priests are going to perform. These are the garments the priests are going to wear. These are how you're going to make the garments. This is where you're going to source the materials for the garments. All of these things with explicit, specific detail, okay? And Moses is up there for 40 days and nights in the presence of the Lord, receiving these instructions, okay? What this means for us is that for us to get the proper direction in life, okay, concerning your personal affairs, concerning business, concerning the ministry, it starts with going into the presence of the Lord. You got to go into the holies of holies. And it's not just a simple, oh, I heard from the Lord once 15 years ago, and I'm going to write a book about, oh, the Lord appeared to me once 20 years ago, and it was so amazing. And then that was it. No. We need to continually enter his presence. The first time Moses goes up to Mount Sinai, he receives the Ten Commandments and all of these laws and customs that Israel is supposed to follow, right? He goes back down, he reads it and tells it to the Israelites. The second time he goes up to Mount Sinai, he spends 40 days and nights up there. And then he gets all the stuff concerning the tabernacle and the priesthood and the offerings and all these things. We don't just, you know, it's not just a one and done. We need to continually re-enter the presence of the Lord, re-enter the secret place, and get those instructions from him, okay? So we need to be consistent and persistent in pursuing the Lord and entering his presence. And then Moses, he comes down from the mountain, and we know that there was, you know, all this debacle with the golden calf and all of this nonsense that the Israelites did. But when he comes down, he reads the instructions, he delivers the instructions that the Lord gave to him, and he tells it to the people of Israel. Now, this is so important because it means for us, in whatever sphere of influence God has given you, no matter how big, no matter how small, right? If you're a CEO of a company, that's your sphere of influence. If you have a smaller sphere of influence, it's the same, okay? Wherever it is God has placed you, that you have any form of governance or authority over, you need to receive instructions, and then you need to direct those in your sphere of influence. These are the directions the Lord has given us. These are the instructions he has given us. And everyone here needs to bind themselves to it. It says in Exodus chapter 24, verse 3, and this is after Moses had received the law and the Ten Commandments. It says in verse 3, then when Moses went and told the people all the Lord's words and laws, they responded with one voice, everything the Lord has said, we will do. Moses then wrote down everything the Lord had said. This is important. We need to take the instructions of the Lord. We need to write it down exactly as he said it, make it something concrete that people can reference. Okay? When they're trying to figure out, you know, what is it we're supposed to do here? They can reference back. These are the instructions God gave us. And now we can use this as our guide. Okay? Now, afterwards, he makes a covenant and they sealed it in blood. There was a sacrifice and Moses sealed this covenant that the Israelites had with the Lord in blood, which was a picture of what was to come in Christ Jesus because the new covenant was sealed in his blood. Okay. And so what happens is that in verse 8, then Moses took the blood, he sprinkled it on the people and said, this is the blood of the covenant that the Lord has made with you in accordance with all these words. Okay. So the old covenant was sealed in blood. Now the new covenant was sealed in the blood of Jesus. In verse 12, the Lord said to Moses, "Come up to me on the mountain and stay there. I will give you the tablets of stone with the law and commandments I have written for their instruction." Verse 15, when Moses went up to the mountain, the cloud covered it, and the glory of the Lord settled on Mount Sinai. For 6 days, the cloud covered the mountain, and on the seventh day, the Lord called to Moses from within the cloud. To the Israelites, the glory of the Lord looked like a consuming fire on the top of the mountain. Then Moses entered the cloud as he went up to the mountain, and he stayed there 40 days and 40 nights, right? So Moses received instructions. He showed it to the people. They bound themselves to it and said, "We will obey the Lord," right? Then God called Moses back up into the mountain, right? When you receive instructions and you start doing them, you need to go back. You need to go back into the presence of the Lord and continue receiving direction from him. Every step we take, every major decision we make, we have to go back to the Lord, go back into his presence and get direction from him. This is our model for ministry, for business, and for our personal affairs, okay? And what happens is that when he goes back up, as I said, he gets the instructions concerning the tabernacle and the temple and the priesthood and all of these things. So then he does the same thing. He comes back down. He relays these instructions to the Israelites. And in Exodus chapter 35, all the way through chapter 39, Moses is just reiterating the instructions God gave him concerning the tabernacle and the priesthood. So in Exodus chapter 39, verse 42, it says, "The Israelites had done all the work just as the Lord had commanded Moses. Moses inspected the work and saw that they had done it just as the Lord commanded, so Moses blessed them," right? So if God has given you a vision, you need to guard it. You need to make sure that that vision is being executed exactly as the Lord has given it to you. But the inverse is also the same. If the Lord has sent you to support somebody in the vision that God has given them, then you need to take care that you're not changing that vision. You're following it exactly as the Lord gave it to them. Okay? Because when God went up and when he told Moses, "This is how you're going to build the tabernacle," he even said who was going to work on it and who was going to manage the workers. You see, God appoints Bezalel and Aholiab. He says, "I've anointed these two. I've given them skills with making of crafts and working with wood and all of these things. And they're going to build it exactly as I told them how to build, as I told you how to build it. And they're going to manage the workers." So God sent the people to support the execution of this vision. Okay? And this is why we have to take care in who gets appointed and anointed to leadership. We are not the ones who choose. We are not the ones who anoint and appoint. It's God. Okay? And we can't just pick somebody because, oh, well, they say they're a Christian and they talk the right talk, right? And everything they say sounds good. No, we have to ask the Lord because God's going to direct those people, especially in those key positions, guys, especially in those key positions, because Bezalel and the Aholiab, they were the key workers in this project for the tabernacle, and they oversaw the other workers. God can do the same for you in business. God can do the same for you in your ministry, right? We have to rely on the Holy Spirit in everything that we do. And let me tell you, this for the church is like our superpower. Because in the world, they've got all of these systems and all these programs for learning how to do leadership. And, you know, some of them have varying degrees of effectiveness. But we have direction that comes straight from the throne room of God. Okay, our God knows everything. He knows what the markets are going to look like next year, and he knows what they're going to look like 10 or 15 years from now. That is a much more reliable source of information than any kind of predictors or systems we have in the world. But it requires us to act by faith. You see, when God came and appeared to Noah and said, "You're going to build me an ark because there's going to be a great flood that's coming." When God said that to Moses, there was no sign of flooding. There was no evidence that there would be a flood. But a flood was coming because the Lord said it, right? And the things that are coming, the best experts and the best wise men of this world, they're not going to be able to predict it. But God's going to know what's coming. We have to rely on the word of the Lord, even when it doesn't make sense in our own understanding. You see, Noah was at least 500 years old when the Lord called him to build the ark. And the scripture says that he was 600 years old when he boarded the Ark. That means sometime after 500 all the way to 600, he was working on this construction project that he didn't pick for himself. Okay, it wasn't just a simple little project. And I know some of you guys, maybe you got some construction project, maybe you got a renovation you started that's been going too long. Okay, imagine God tells you you're going to build this boat and you work on it for decades. And there's no sign of rain, there's no sign of flooding. But Noah was still faithful for all of those decades. We don't know how long he worked, but it was for a while that he was obeying the Lord. He was consistent and persistent in his obedience to the Lord, despite what the circumstances looked like. Now, that's a model for faith that we should take on in our own lives. Amen. But the other thing that comes from being in the presence of the Lord is the divine inspiration. Okay? The new things that don't exist yet. Because God intends for the body of Christ to step into a new era of influence and affluence. But the church needs to become mature. We need to get out of ourselves. We have to stop being so single-minded, so selfishly minded, and start to become kingdom-minded. Don't be concerned about yourself. God knows what you want. God knows what you need. He's going to take care of you. Only pursue and obey him. Because you know what? He's a trustworthy God. And he is a loving God. So it's time for the church to begin maturing. Get outside of yourself. Start becoming kingdom-minded. Now, the thing is, though, there's really two reasons why the church hasn't been maturing much. And one is because majority of people, one, they would prefer to offload the responsibility onto somebody else. Okay? It's a lot of pressure, you know, to hear from God, press in, and try and figure these problems out, right? And there's so many times where, you know, they just wish that if they got a problem, they can thrust it onto the pastor. Pastor, can you do this for me? Or they can thrust it onto somebody else, okay? And this was evident even back in the time of Samuel. When they ask Samuel, they say, we want a king over us. And the reason that they give is that in 1 Samuel chapter 8, they say, we want a king over us, then we'll be like the other nations, and we'll have a king who will lead us, and who will go out before us, and who will fight our battles for us, right? They wanted somebody else that they could just offload all of the responsibility onto. He's going to make the decisions. I don't have to think about it. He's going to have to deal with these spiritual issues. I don't have to think about it, okay? Because if there's not a king over you, that means you individually have to press in. You individually have to fast and pray and hear from God, get instructions, make decisions, and then act, okay? And before the Israelites had a king, there was no special line of people, right? They had the judges, and the judges were ordinary people. You had people like Deborah, who was a woman. You had people like Gideon, who thought very lowly of himself. You had people like Samuel, who was just a boy, okay? But each of these were ordinary people who heard the voice of God and obeyed. And that was the only requirement, okay? But let's be real. Sometimes you feel like there's a lot of pressure and you don't have to make the decisions. I just want somebody else to make the decision, right? But part of maturing is taking on that responsibility. And so we as the church, each of us as individuals, we have to take responsibility over our own faith walk. We're not going to offload it onto somebody else. You individually have to press in. You individually have to hear from God, and you individually have to obey him. Because what happened when the Israelites had a king was, well, when the king followed and obeyed God, the whole nation was blessed. And when a king didn't obey God and they became wicked, well, the whole nation became wicked, right? The entire people group went and moved with their leader. And so this is the first reason why, and why the church has remained immature, is because many people prefer it like that. They would prefer that all the responsibility got offloaded onto somebody else. They don't have to think about it, okay? And you see this also happen in the case when Jeroboam became king, because the people were going down to Jerusalem to worship. And I talked about this previously, and what did he offer them? Convenience. He gave them convenience and said, well, you don't need to go all the way down there. Here, I've set up a new idol for you. Just worship these idols here. It's too much work for you to go down there and travel to Jerusalem. Just stay here, worship these gods, right? And the people gave into it. They gave in to that convenience, okay? Because, hey, well, the king said it, so I guess we'll just submit to what he thinks because he's the king, right? I don't want to have to think about it. But this leads us to the second reason why many in the church remain immature, which is that many spiritual leaders also prefer it that way. They prefer to act and carry themselves like a king, okay? Which is why many pastors are very territorial concerning their congregation, because it's my sheep, it's my ministry, and they're going to steal from my ministry, right? They're like, they see themselves as a king guarding their territory. And this is exactly what Jeroboam was doing. He created a stumbling block for his people against God because he was afraid of losing control and losing influence. And so this is the second reason why many in the church remain immature, is because the leaders have not been equipping the church because they would prefer them to be reliant on them. Okay? This is not the example that Jesus set for us. You see, when Jesus addressed his disciples before he went up to heaven, he said, "If you believe in me and the words that I say, you will do even greater things than the things that I have done, because I'm going to the Father." You see, the attitude that Jesus took on is that I am going to equip you so that when I am gone, you can continue the ministry and you can do even greater works than I did. This is the mindset that any spiritual leader has to take on for themselves, is that you are equipping the next generation to one day not just do your job, but potentially surpass you. But in order for you to take on that mindset, well, it takes, you really have to remove any kind of pride from yourself, because honestly, it's hard, right? If you see somebody and they're new and they're excited and they're just kind of shooting up, right? And they're talented and charismatic, you kind of start to feel a little bit self-conscious. Oh my gosh, they're going to make me look bad. They're going to pass me up, right? We really have to have a mindset that we're all in the same team. We're supporting one another. So if somebody under your realm of influence, they're articulate, they're charismatic and passionate, and they're excited about the Lord and God's using them, you should also get excited and you should do everything you can to equip them for the ministry, to equip them to do greater things even than you. But that means we got to get out of that pride, right? We got to stop thinking about our own reputation, our ministry, and we have to start being kingdom-minded. We have to start thinking about what God wants. And it really helps if you remember that we're one body, right? So if the arm is called to do one thing and the foot's called to do another thing, the arm is not greater than the foot. We're all one unit. So if one person's being used mightily by God, and even if they're a new baby Christian, if they're being used mightily by God, that's a good thing. It benefits the kingdom. So both the spiritual leaders and all of us, everyone in the body of Christ, needs to become kingdom-minded. Okay, it's not about our own reputation. It's not about our own wants and needs. It's really, we focus on God's wants and needs. We focus on what he's calling us to do. And let me tell you, he'll take care of you. You won't need to be worried about it. So I want to urge you in these three things that I've mentioned today. Stop thinking about your wants and needs. Start thinking nationally and globally. Start thinking about the kingdom. Just like Moses had to go up into the presence of God and hear concerning the nation, that's what we're all called to do too. So we're tasked. We got to start entering the presence of the Lord. We got to start going in there and getting that instruction. Abide in his presence and do it continually. You got to keep going back and keep getting those instructions. Then when you get the instructions, you make sure to guard that vision. Whether you're supporting the vision that God gave to somebody else or you're carrying out the vision God gave you, you need to guard it. You need to support it and make sure it's executed exactly as God gave you. And two, anyone that you're training up that's under your sphere of influence, you need to equip them to do your job and one day surpass you. Because that's the mindset that Christ Jesus took, okay? And we're not greater than Jesus, but he equipped us so that one day when the Holy Spirit came, we would be able to do things that didn't happen in his day. We're followers of Christ. We got to follow his example. Amen. So I hope this has encouraged all of you, because you know what? This nation's going to turn, but when it happens depends on our obedience. And you know what? I don't want God to have to wait for another generation. I want to see the glory of God manifest in the United States of America in this generation and this season. So it's time for us to take on that responsibility and begin obeying God today. Amen? Well, I'm just about out of time, but I want to thank you so much for tuning in. Again, my name is Joshua Sasso, and you've been listening to The Prophetic Voice of Our Time. Thanks for tuning in. You've been listening to the prophetic voice of our time. We really hope you were blessed by today's episode. And if you were, we want to hear from you. You can call us at 210-695-1630. Or you can email us at sogmi@outlook.com. That's sogmi@outlook.com. And we really encourage you to visit our website, sogmi.org. That is sogmi.org. That's where you can listen to previous episodes of this podcast and even support this broadcast. We're supported by listeners just like you. So if you want to support this ministry, you can go to sogmi.org and hit the donate button. You can also send a check to P.O. Box 1579, Helotes, Texas 78023. Again, that is P.O. Box 1579, Helotes, Texas 78023.